This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. That's Cold Sweat by James Brown featuring Clyde Stubblefield, the original funky drummer. Clyde passed away last weekend in Madison. And as Wisconsin remembers his music and his career, we've invited a longtime friend and fellow drummer for a look at his life and his music.
Stubblefield was a legend in the music world for his work with James Brown and beyond. He moved to Madison in 1971. He's well known to Wisconsin public radio listeners for his work on What Do You Know? Joey B. Banks joins us. He's a drummer based in Madison. He worked with Clyde on musical projects and a scholarship fund. Joey is at a memorial event that starts at 5. He talked to us in the studio earlier today. Joey, thanks for joining us again on Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us about when you first met Clyde Stubblefield?
I've been telling this story a lot lately.
Yeah.
I think it was I was 16 years old and clubbed Wash. There was Paul Black was doing his Monday blues jam, and I was a kid sneaking into the club to watch, basically, and jamming with those guys. And Clyde happened to be there and saw me play and complimented me on what I was doing. And really, from that point on, I had really a lot of positive things to say about my playing, but it was a club to watch.
What was that like being 16? I can only imagine, being a musician myself, having this legend come in and say, yeah, sounds good. I mean, that I would just pass out probably.
Made me smile. I mean, I think a couple other interviews I've had, that was the inspiration that really kind of got me thinking, I might want to do this and for my entire life. I want to be a drummer. And actually that year I did start playing professionally in Madison. I started playing with Charlie Brooks in his band. So it definitely inspired me and it definitely motivated me and gave me the confidence to be a drummer.
So it inspired your career in part, but you've also worked with Clyde really ever since then. Can you talk about working with him on, in his band in town and just a lot of other projects over the years?
Yeah. I mean, the beginning of me really working with Clyde and becoming close with him was when he got sick the first time. And I started subbing for him about 20 years ago for his Funky Monday shows. And I subbed for him on a few outside shows as well. But more recently, Clyde was sick, 3 years ago. He was hospitalized, hadn't played for a couple years. And I really wanted to do something, to get him back behind the drums. And, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what the whole thing was. The last time I was in the studio, we were with Clyde talking about the band and getting the band back together and having him play. And it was kind of him coming back to playing again. But over the years, it was just subbing for him a lot when he was sick and covering for him. And then recently forming the revitalization of the Clyde Stubblefield All-Stars and the Funky Mondays. And got all that going again. And the band is going to continue, actually. We're going to continue to do Funky Mondays. We're going to continue to do the Clyde Stubblefield tribute. And we're going to continue to support the Clyde Stubblefield Scholarship Fund through that Funky Monday event.
Let's talk about Clyde Stubblefield as a musician. What made him such a groundbreaking drummer?
He completely unique style of playing really lended him to be, I consider him to be the father of the funk movement and the whole funk genre. And I think his Cold Sweat mm-hmm. tune was an R&B number one hit, and it kind of pushed James Brown and that style of funk into the pop mainstream.
Can you talk on a technical level? What stuff was he doing that made it
stuff?
If you want to be nerd out as a drummer for a minute,
nerd out, his left hand, independence and syncopation of his left hand technique, and quality of that left hand.
So that's hitting the hi hat and the cymbals.
Not his hi hat at all. His left hand.
Okay. The whole left hand.
His left hand is the mastery is coming from his left hand.
Okay.
I teach a lot of my students a lot of that left hand independence. It's very unique and it's very syncopated and it's exclusive to him. I mean, and it really actually, to be honest, is the blueprint for a lot of funk drummers' basic funk concept. I mean, he's in every funk drummer's vocabulary.
If you're learning to play today, you're going to play along with the track that he recorded.
Absolutely. I mean, and anything that you hear, I mean, I remember as a young kid, a six-year-old kid, and my mom and dad listening to Clyde Stubblefield, that's the only funk that I remember. I always associated any type of funk rhythm with whatever Clyde's rhythms were.
And his rhythms were key to the rise of rap and hip-hop,
yeah.
Heavily sampled, right? He had, I know, mixed feelings about that. I think he liked the tribute. He didn't like that he wasn't getting paid for it, though, which was a bad thing.
Actually, that's not totally true. I mean, I don't think the money has never been an issue with him. It was recognition. It was Public Enemy saying, you know, this is Clyde Stubblefield's beat on Fight to Power. You know, it's the artist that's sampling that beat, giving him credit for that beat is what he wanted. And I think if that would have happened, I think things would have been a lot different for him monetarily.
And hip hop would it be what it is without his beats?
Absolutely not. Hip hop would not exist without his beats, in my opinion. I mean, he's the most sampled. He's still being sampled. And I'm sure now that he's gone, he's going to be sampled even more. But he's the father of two genres, without a doubt.
Talking to Joey B. Banks. He's a drummer. He's a longtime friend. He's worked with Clyde Stubblefield, looking back at Clyde's life and career. What led Clyde to Wisconsin?
You know, his brother, Frank, was here, and he came to visit him back in, 70, 71, and he loved Madison. He loved being here, and he loved the people right away, right off the bat. And he decided to make Madison his home. It was really his brother, Frank, who has passed away a couple of years ago, who got him here.
Now, a lot of my colleagues here at WPR knew him better than I do. He worked on, of course, What Do You Know? Mm-hmm. I only got to meet him the once with you when we interviewed him here in the studio. What struck me is that, okay, here's this legend. I'm in the studio with this legend. The most humble guy. He would not brag about anything. I had to get you to brag about him.
Right.
Is that right? Was that a right impression of him?
Yeah, that's one of the qualities about him that everybody knows is humility and being humble. And he's extremely loyal friend to the people around him. Was the most humble person that I've ever met by far. Drummers all over the world, internationally for years, I've idolized him and were inspired by him. And he's just a regular guy from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I consider him more of a Madisonian than a person from Tennessee. He's lived here for 40 years, more than the most time in his life. But, he's truly humble, and that was probably one of the biggest and most gracious qualities about him.
We in Wisconsin are lucky to have had access, big clubs and small, to just be there. And hey, there's Clyde Stubblefield playing a set. Right. What was it like to see him live?
Well, I mean, I had pretty unique vantage point.
Sure.
playing right next to him and being the musical director of his group, and I don't remember not smiling sitting next to him. It was just a constant smile, watching him smile. I think one of the most gratifying feelings I had was getting him back behind the kit and watching him smile and be happy, because I think he was the most happy when he was playing drums. And I'm happy that I could be a part of getting him back behind it. But you know, it unique perspective of being right next to him and sharing the stage with him on a regular basis is the highest honor and privilege that I could have.
What was it like that time he'd been, as you said, he hadn't been playing live for a while, that first show when he came back and played?
The first show was tempos were slow. we had some rehearsals, and he would tell you, he would never, ever, ever, ever rehearse. And I had convinced him he had to rehearse for the band's sake, because we really had to have some organization in the songs. And he resisted, but he finally did it. And in those first couple of rehearsals, he'd get through a couple of tunes, and he'd be, a little sore, and he'd be coughing, and he's really, really worn. And the first couple of shows really tried to take it easy on him, but tempos were slow. And there's a scholarship CD from the Barrymore show that we did. You listen to it, some of the tempos were a little slow, but I mean, he over the over the next 2 or 3 months, he got really strong and he got back to playing again. And his manager, Kathy, started booking him a little more frequently outside of the Madison area. I mean, a month before he passed, he was in Nashville with Jabbo and the JBs. He was at Guitar Center's Grand Finals playing, and they did a tribute to him there, and put his hands in their Wall of Fame.
Great.
And then he was honored at NAMM a few weeks back with Yamaha. So he was playing all the way to the end.
You mentioned the scholarship fund that he worked on, and you've worked on it with him, and he encouraged you as a youth. Was it important to him to pass the baton, or I guess the drumstick, to the next generation?
I think so. I mean, I think just naturally. I mean, he just had a natural want to support local musicians and local artist, and he would get people on stage frequently at Funky Mondays. Maybe not the most talented people on stage, but he would give them chances. I've been a big advocate of youth as well over the years as an educator, and at Funky Mondays frequently brought up my students to sit in with Clyde and sit in with the band. I just thought it was important for them to be able to have that opportunity, and Clyde loved it. Clyde loved having the youth and the kids come up and perform, and he supported that. I think he wanted to do more of that. He expressed that quite a bit to me, that he wanted to work with kids and he wanted to have influence on the next generation. And he has. He's going to have it through me and through my educational efforts. But he definitely cared about everybody. He wanted to give everybody a shot.
And the scholarship fund, I imagine that's going to continue?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just, the Coalition for the Recognition of Clyde Stubblefield just partnered with the Madison Area Music Association to start the Madison Area Music Association Clyde Stubblefield Scholarship Fund that will help send kids that want to study music, support kids that want to study music in college. So that's going right now. We're on a heavy fundraising mission for that, to get to endowment status, so that we can start awarding scholarship money this upcoming Madison Area Music Award show.
And memorial events, what's going on?
Memorial event, the first one of is today, Friday. It will be at the Concourse Grand Ballroom, and from 5 to 8, and it'll be officiated by Michael Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's today. And then the musical tribute I'm putting together is on Monday at the High Noon Saloon, from 6 to 10. I think it's going to be 6 to whenever.
Sure.
Kathy at the High Noon has given us the room, pretty much donated the room to us for that event. And we'll have lots of memorabilia for people to purchase. A lot of that money will be going to the family, Jody Hannon, his wife, and the scholarship fund. So, you know, we're going to do all Clyde Stubblefield hits, and we're going to do some Clyde Stubblefield original material from his albums, and then some of his favorite cover tunes that we've done on Mondays for the last 18 months.
Well, thank you, Joey, so much. Sorry for your loss, for WPR's loss, for the music world's loss, too.
Absolutely. It's a little bit of a hole in the soul of Madison's music community right now, and I'm hoping that we can heal a little bit of that on Monday at the musical tribute. He would want us to party. He's a partier, and he'd love to have a good time, and that's how we want to represent the tribute. We want it to be an uplifting, happy, healing experience for everybody that's involved.
Thanks again for coming up, Joey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Rob.
That was drummer Joey B. Banks. He joined us in the studio earlier today for a look at the music and life of Clyde Stubblefield.